There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 850, Casanova Brooks, real estate expert and author of Real Estate, Play the Game Like the Winners.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
If you were to fail, you have to ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And for me, when I ask myself that question, what's the worst that can happen? I lay out all the things, but it's like, can you bounce back from this?
Our guest today is Casanova Brooks, a young man who battled cancer in his teens, lost his home, lost his job, and experienced the death of his mother all within the span of 1 week. Hitting rock bottom, he says, gave him the confidence to take on new challenges, take on a growth mindset, and rebuild his life. Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Today is one of those episodes where you're just going to hear the most inspiring story of a man who persevered and now only at the ripe age of 31 has completely rebuilt his life. Casanova today is a successful real estate expert. Get this, he locked in 46 real estate deals in his first year as an agent. And this was while working in a new city. He had no family, no friends, no network. His outlook on life has awarded Casanova invitations to speak all over the world. He's also the author of the book, Real Estate, Play the Game Like the Winners. We're going to talk about the steps he took after hitting rock bottom, his take on real estate these days, is this a buyer's market, a seller's market, and how to evaluate risk in your financial life. Here is Casanova Brooks. Casanova Brooks, welcome to So Money. I love saying your name.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. My mom definitely did me a favor.
Yeah. And man, is she proud of you looking up from up above. I mean, gosh, you have done quite well for yourself in just 4 years. We're going to go back in time a little bit on this interview because I want to share kind of the breadth of your journey with our listeners and just how impressively you've gone about building your career, building yourself back up. But I know that with your mom passing 4 years ago, that was a real turning point for you. And it was within a week where you lost your mom, you lost your home, you lost your job. Fast forward to today, you know, you're an award-winning real estate broker, agent. You are a speaker, a sought-after speaker. You're doing tons of media. You've written a book, Real Estate, Play the Game Like the Winners. And you're at the ripe age of 31. I'm celebrating my last year of my 30s. How do you feel right now with given all that you've accomplished in a short period of time?
Yeah, well, thank you for the introduction, first off. And I would say that I feel like the weight of the world's on me. I think once you have it in your mind, once you have it in your heart that you really just want to impact the masses and you want to be the best version of you, it's very hard to sleep a little bit. It's very hard to rest, I should say. You know, so each and every day, I'm just trying to figure out how I can be a better version of myself and how I can keep pushing myself to go forward, because I do have two small children. And my son is now just about to turn 8 years old. So every day, you know, he's in that stage where he's watching what I'm doing rather mm-hmm. than what I'm saying. And so I got to make sure that each day I go hard, because I heard somebody said to me one time, and they said, you know, if your wife and your children could follow you around for one day, at the end of that day, whatever time that you shut it down, what would they say about the way that you conduct your day? What would they say about your work ethic? And so every day I try to keep that into my mind. Like, if my son followed me around one day, which he has obviously, but just to say, wow, dad is really going after it. Or is it like, hey, is this really what you do? Then I could just go play Fortnite all day.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, you're someone who has proven time after time to really excel despite adversity. You know, you had cancer when you were 15 and you spent 2 years fighting that and eventually went into remission. So happy about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I mean, there's nothing quite like a health scare, right? To put life in perspective.
Absolutely. And so for me, it was different and difficult as well, because growing up, I was never one to ever be sick. I never had the chicken pox, measles, anything like that. So at 15, when all of a sudden you're playing sports and one day you just find yourself not being able to breathe and you're constantly taking these naps and you're an active boy or even girl, that's something that's definitely scary in its own. And so when the doctors had, you know, told my mom and grandma that, hey, it was more serious and they were going to ship us off to another university, my parents were like, hey, what's going on? And they were like, well, we think it might be, you know, cancer. And from there, it was like, whoa. And I didn't really understand the severity of, you know, having cancer. You always hear the word, but for me, I hadn't lost anyone that was that close to me. And I just wasn't really aware of what that meant. But obviously over those next 2 years, through going through lots of treatments and lots of tests and things like that, and really not being able to be as active and as social as I wanted to be during my golden days of high school, it really took, you know, me leveling up mentally to understanding what I was going through, but understanding as well that it can all be taken any given day from you. So you have to live each day to the fullest.
Do you think that's part of what has fueled you to be so successful? I mean, you, in the first year that you turned to real estate as your career path, and this was after kind of doing a bit of soul searching, you kind of embarked on real estate. You locked in 46 deals in that first year in Omaha. And you were just telling me before we were live that the average number of deals for a rookie real estate agent is like one or two in the first year. You did 46, which is like almost one a week. And you know, I already listed all of your other incredible accomplishments. And I wonder, the catalyst for all of that perhaps was, you know, the near death experience as a cancer survivor at age 15. And then it was losing your mom. And by the way, your house and your job in a short period of time. There is a logic to this a little bit, right? Like, that happened to you. And of course you could have just sulked, right? You could have just like been someone who like wallowed in their misery, but you turned that around for yourself. And do you feel like that was really the tailwind for you?
Yeah. So I would say that for me, I always, when I get into something, I'm always thinking to myself that I want to be the best version of me in this thing that I could do, right? So it's always, rather than having so many fears, I always just want to know, can I hit the unknown or the unthinkable? And as you were talking about, you know, a lot of people say you got to have patience and 4 years is not a lot of time. But for me, I know that right now I'm someone where my motor runs 120 miles an hour, and I pride myself on that. But I always always think to myself, you know, at some point this will slow down. So I got to be able to make sure that I give it all that I got. So one day I don't look back and I have any regret. So when I first got into the business of real estate, the reason why I got into real estate was because I wanted to be the lord of my land. Coming from where I come from, my family never owned businesses, never owned cars, and they definitely never even owned their own homes. So we were moving apartment to apartment, but I came across, you know, a video and they were like, you got to figure out how to be the lord of your land. You got to figure out how you can change the trajectory for the people that are going to come behind you. And so that was a big deal for me. And I just seen that like life was just going so fast. And what did I really have to show for it? Everyone had said, you know, you got a lot of potential, but I didn't have a blueprint. And I just wanted to live up to the expectations of my mom. I wanted to live up to the expectations of anybody who believed in me. And so I just figured I would go as hard as I could at anything that I was doing to prove that it's possible. And I didn't want to use not having financial backing or any type of resources as a crutch. I wanted to go hard and show. And at the end of the day, I think while I get a lot of praise about the real estate, it's really real estate is a people business. And that's what I love about it. For my whole life, I've just always tried to focus on building meaningful and effective relationships. If you build the right type of relationships and you have accountability and you communicate well, people know that they can depend on you and you can be successful in anything. So that's what I've always just tried to focus on. And I believe that that's really the foundation of how I've been able to build what I've built today.
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, if you're at the end of the day really good at building relationships and connecting with people and nurturing relationships, you can sell real estate, you can sell clothing, you can sell anything because people right. trust you, right? It's that implicit trust that comes with not letting people down time and time again. You sold 46 pieces of real estate in a year. I kind of want to dissect this. I want to unpack this a little bit because how did you do that? You're one person. And was this like was there a hack to doing this? Was it like a block of units in an apartment building? Was it one buyer who bought from Russia who bought like 20 units? Like what happened? What do you credit to the magnanimity of all of those sales other than of course your charm?
But thank you. Well, no, I did no multifamily deals. There was no the only time that I was doing multiple deals with the same buyer is if somebody was listing a property and buying another property. But other than that, no one client that I had in that year did more than two deals, I would say. And even with the investors that I was working with, which were friends that turned, you know, investors because they wanted to get into real estate after, you know, we'd sit down and I would tell them, you know, the value is in owning the land and owning the real estate. So then they bought a couple properties with me. And that's what I would say. But how I did it was really just focusing on branding and focusing on showing up every single day. Now, what I mean by that is when you first get into the business of real estate, there's no training. So for anywhere that you go, when you first get your license, what they teach you with getting your license in any real estate school for becoming a real estate agent is how to not go in front of the real estate commission in any state or any local city, whatever it is. So then once you get your license, you're like, oh my God, well, what do I do now? And that's why so many people, the National Association of Realtors, which is NAR, it's the big, I guess, association that's with real estate agents. But anyway, they said that 87% of all new real estate agents get out of the business within just 5 years of getting their license, right? And so the reason why is because there's no training, there's no support. Even if you just go to a big brokerage like a Keller Williams or a Berkshire Hathaway or any of those brokerages, there's so many agents in there and so many people are just moving so fast that you're like, oh, I don't want to be a burden to any of these people. I'll try to figure it out. But that's why a lot of people, they don't go full time into real estate. They kind of do the part-time thing so they can allow it to build up over time. But that's very tough to do because when other agents, it's easy for agents to go at you if you're a part-time agent, because they can tell a seller or even a buyer, like, hey, do you want someone who's handling your most prized and biggest investment to be part-time, or do you want somebody to truly knows the market? So for me, what I was doing every single day was I was trying to line up as many coffee and lunches as I could with anybody and everybody who would sit down with me, because I didn't know anyone in the city. So I was sitting down with bankers, I was sitting down with anyone at networking events, I was sitting down with anyone who had influence. And I thought that maybe even if that person was not buying a home or selling a home in the next 30 to 60 days, they probably knew somebody. And so again, that just came with me telling people, hey, here's the excitement that I have for this business. Here's what I'm doing right now. And then on the back end, it was really a lot about the branding that I was doing. And what I mean by that is the average real estate agent just here in Omaha is probably around like 47, 48 years old. Across the country, I would say it's probably around, 50, 51. Now it's getting younger, but those agents aren't really utilizing social media. So just think back 3 to 4 years ago, a lot of them didn't want to utilize social media, and some of them still aren't. So for me, every time I got someone who bought a house or even and sold a house with me, I was taking pictures with them, and they were happy to do so for me because of how hard I worked. And so every time you would get on the Facebook, if we're just friends, or even Instagram or Snapchat, you would see these pictures with someone with the sold sign with Casanova Brooks and his name and his company on it. So after a while, it just became like social proof. And then I started to get more messages from people saying, hey, I see you're selling up everything in the city. Would you, be willing to come give me a CMA on my home? Or would you be willing to grab coffee with me so you could teach me, what I need to do to be in a position to buy a home in the next 30, 60, 90 days. And from there, it just kept compounding, and I just kept showing how excited that I was.
I love that. Leveraging a tool that maybe your competitors aren't using yet. That's really smart. And Instagram, I know we have had guests on this show like Ryan Serhant, right, from Million Dollar Listing, and some of the other stars from those Bravo shows. But truly, they are hustling. They are out there trying to sell every day. They are true real estate agents, and they are all big on social media. Before it was really the normal thing to do. Now everybody's on social media, but you were ahead of the curve, and that paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gary Vee talks about this a lot, and just, where you have to have an audience and you have to follow where the attention is. Nowadays, more people are going to Zillow, more people are going to Realtor.com, all these different sites, and they're watching YouTube videos, and they really just want to know whether you're working with them on the investor side or you're working with them on the primary home side. They want to know that they have somebody who's, one, going to work hard, but two, knows what they're doing. And the only way that you can show that in today's world, because everything's speeding up, is to have videos out there, to have content out there, to be able to even just give them some sense of direction, and then they can say, hey, I loved what you said in that last video. Here's my scenario. Would you be able to give me a little bit more, information on how you think that I can win? And when you do that, I think that you will win in the end because you've helped serve somebody else.
You also have Casanova TV, which is great. Another way for you to get out there. I have to ask you, because you're based, are you still in Omaha?
I am still in Omaha. Yeah.
Have you ever run into Warren Buffett at the grocery store?
So I have not. I have a lot of connections to him. So a lot of people who I'm very close with are close to him. But no, I've never run into Warren yet. Actually, I take that back. So I've never run into him in like a grocery store, or a lot of people have just seen him in like Dairy Queen, or because he has his spots that he just frequent all the time. You never know when he's going to be there, but it's crazy. And a lot of people I've talked to have been like, yeah, I just seen him at Dairy Queen. He was sitting in the back reading a paper, and then he goes to a couple other spots, and he never has like any big time security or anybody around him. But 2 years ago, they were doing the Berkshire conference, and I was there, and he was there, and I actually wound up getting a selfie with him, but it was really in passing, right? Like and I'll have to find it and send it to you at some point. But yeah, I was literally 2 feet away from him, but I got a selfie. It looks like, we're in the picture together, but he was just in passing, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
But not yet. You'll get there.
Yeah. I'm sure I will.
You know, he listens to this podcast. No, I'm totally kidding.
He might.
He might. Maybe. I would actually like to know what if he does listen to podcasts and which ones he does. I'd love to get him on this podcast. If anybody knows anybody who knows Warren Buffett, let me know.
Well, I got a couple friends. So again,
all right.
I got a couple friends that are in close contact with him. So I'll see what I can do for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
All right, Casanova, tell me this. What is your financial resolution? This is a question brought to us by our sponsor, Chase. We want to know, do you have anything on your to-do list that has to do with money in 2019?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really getting out of debt 100% completely. And what I mean by that is I think that all debt is not bad debt. So when you're using debt to be able to leverage and buy investments or buy assets that are going to produce, like, I don't think that that's bad debt. But then you have depreciating debt. And so for me, I bought a vehicle, and this vehicle is almost paid off, but I want to make sure that by the end of the year, this vehicle will be 100% paid off. And then my wife has student loan debt. So going into 2020, if we have absolutely no debt, that is a depreciating asset debt. So bad debt, in my opinion only, right? Mm-hmm. If, as long as I'm out of all of that debt, I think that that will be a great feat for me. And I believe that is definitely accomplishable, because we've already took a big chunk at it, or a big hack at it this year already.
What do you think about real estate in 2019? There have been, there've been predictions of a recession this year. And of course, with interest rates rising, that's never necessarily positive for the strength of the real estate market, as people can't buy as much home than they once could. So what are you seeing? Are you seeing a few signs of a softening in the real estate market in Omaha?
Yeah. So all across the country, where we've been over the last 2 to 2.5 years is we've been in a seller's market. So there's been very little inventory. But then what you also see across the country is there's a lot of builders that are still making homes, right? So you wonder, okay, well, what happens if we do go into a recession? Because people won't be able to afford these new construction homes. And even here in Omaha, you know, the average new construction home is probably around $400,000 to $425,000, somewhere in that range. So you start to wonder what will happen. Now, I always say, you know, when people ask me, how's the market? I always say the market is great, because the market is always great for someone. If you're in a seller's market, the market's great for you, obviously. But if we go into a recession, people who have saved up, people who have or do have, you know, a line of credit or HELOC or something like that, they're able, or even obviously if you have cash liquid that you can invest into, but they're going to be able to use that money to buy up more property. And you never want to buy when everyone else is buying. And you want to buy when everyone's selling. And so I even say that when people talk about investing, it's like, okay, even if the market crashes and you own, you know, a good amount of properties, you don't really have to worry about that, because unless you need to sell tomorrow, the real estate market will come back up. You know, and they say the best time to buy real estate was 20 years ago. The second best time to buy real estate is today. So, you know, you want to wait. And if you can own the land, you're going to be, you know, best off. But if not, owning the real estate, as long as you don't need to sell, I think that it's great. So even if we hit a little bit of a recession, I still think that a lot of people are going to be OK as long as they bought their property right. You make money when you buy in real estate, not when you sell.
Awesome. $1 million listing, Omaha. I don't know. Bravo might have a new show coming to you, starring Casanova. What would you say is your 5-year plan? Do you want to stay within real estate? Or, you know, at the end of the day, you're talking about, like, it's about connections, it's about relationships. Where else are you curious? What other explorations are on tap for you?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. So here in Omaha, there's a big conference. It used to be called Big Omaha. So Gary Vee, about 8 or 9 years ago, before he blew up, they got him to come here and be a keynote. Now it's been a lot tougher. But anyway, they've revamped this conference, and they haven't announced it yet, but it should be announced here in the next week. And so I'm emceeing this entire conference, and there's some big names that are coming. So I'm super excited about that. But what's the next goal for me is to really find more stages where I can impact and influence. So speaking on entrepreneurship, speaking on, you know, sales and marketing, and also just inspiring other people with my story, because I'm the same as anyone else, right? I've just built the relationships, and that's the same way that I got a hold of you, I would say, right? Just being persistent, you know, making sure that I didn't have a fear, that I reached out. And if you or anyone else was to ever say no, that's it. Sometimes we're always in our head, because it's like, oh, if I reach out and that person says no, or this person rejects me, like, oh my God, I'll feel so bad. But you got to understand that you're in no worse off spot than where you were before that person said no or rejected. So for me, I think that's the next big thing, is for me to get onto stages, be able to impact and influence and do, I think, what my calling is. Because I say all the time, real estate, it's great. It's allowed me to have a lot of success, but real estate is my what and my how. It's what I do and how I make my money, but it's not my why. You know, my why is to be able to live a life by my design, be able to have financial freedom. So my decisions are never based off of money, but more of the impact and the value that I can give.
Wow. And you're 31 years old. So profound. Do you feel like you've lived a life? I feel like the things that you've experienced, right, I feel as though have really accelerated your maturity and your also like your sensibility on just life.
Yeah, I would say so. So I would be honest to tell you that it wasn't always this way, right? I'm an inner city Chicago kid, growing up without a father, raised by a single mom. Then they made the decision to move me to Sioux City, Iowa. And so that was a huge culture shock, because before we moved to Sioux City, Iowa, I never saw anybody who didn't look like me, unless we were downtown Chicago doing some type of, you know, at a big library. So you see tourists, or if I saw them on TV. be. So I never saw people who didn't look like me, but I was very fortunate that my parents made that decision, because what that taught me was that I didn't grow up with an ignorant mindset. That was to say, if you did not look like me, that you couldn't be with me, you had to be against me. And so from there, I just really started to focus on relationship, because I was like, okay. And talking about Warren Buffett, this was one of the greatest things that I ever heard about Warren Buffett. And so I guess he was at a conference, or he was on a panel one day, and someone asked Warren, they said, "Warren, how do you know when you've truly been successful in life?" And so for a lot of people that know Warren, he doesn't really talk about afterlife and everything else. He doesn't do it. He's a here and now type guy. But he said, "You'll never know when you've truly been successful until you die. And then you see how many people attend your funeral." And everybody's like, wow, like Warren Buffett's talking about death. And he said, but more importantly, you'll never know how truly successful that you've been in life until you see how many people cry at your funeral, because those are the people that you've truly impacted their lives. And I was just like, wow. When I heard that, I was like, that's 100% right. Like it did all of the at the end of the day. What's in my mind is, no matter what, I don't want to get to 70 and I don't want to have any regret. And so I know that I got to go after everything that they said I couldn't have. I got to be it. Just like you said, if we look at my success, real estate didn't just start my success. Like before I got into real estate, I took a risk and I became a digital marketing consultant for a Fortune 500 company here in Omaha. Within 9 months, I wound up finishing number 8 in the entire company in inside sales, and did more money in my center than anybody else. And that was kind of crazy. I was getting all of these awards. And then even before that, I was at a car dealership and I sold cars, where I knew nothing about cars, just like digital marketing and real estate. But within 6 months, I got car salesman of the month, 2 months in a row. I just came off my first 10K month and I beat out 27 other sales reps between like three locations. So from there, and that was like my first ever real job. But I'd probably tell you I've had, I would say 16 or 17 different jobs where I was just trying to find my way. So I was always feeling like I was a lost kid, but I always knew that if I just kept pushing, that I could be successful, because it's all about persistence, right? And I heard from a good friend of mine one day, we were having coffee, and he owns a multimillion-dollar company here in Omaha. And he said, "I want you to know that persistence respects persistence." And I was like, he was like, "Do you know what I mean?" And then I was like, "Well, I kind of get it." He was like, "If you think about anybody that you know that's very successful, the reason why they're successful is because they had to be relentless and persistent on their journey to get to where they are today. Most people weren't given anything. So if you're persistent, eventually they will come around and they'll see, wow, this kid is really hustling." And they'll be able to put themselves in your shoes, even at a small taste, because they know what it was like for them if they're being honest and genuine. And so for me, that's what I've always just focused on, is just being persistent, relentless, and making sure that I add value and never letting anybody tell me that something's not possible, because it always looks impossible until that one person does it. And in the beginning, they'll ask you why you're doing it, and then the end, they'll ask you how you did it.
Yes. One of your quotes is, "As long as it's a calculated risk, take it. Don't look back."
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
That's a good money mantra.
What'd you say?
I said, that's a pretty good money mantra.
Absolutely. Because the reason why I love that is because no matter what the risk is that you're taking, whether it's financial or it's not, if you think about it, the only way that you're going to know if it was successful or not, everybody has a different path. And there's so many different elements and factors that go with every single risk. So you can never compare your risk to someone else's. But whether it was financial or not, if you were to fail, you have to ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And for me, when I ask myself that question, what's the worst that can happen? I lay out all the things, but it's like, can you bounce back from this? Especially if we're talking about money, you absolutely can bounce back from it. We can always make more money. But the memories, even if it was bad ones, you'll look back on this 3, 4, 5, 7 years from now, and you'll be like, "Man, I remember." And you're going to laugh about it. You're like, "I remember I did all this and this and this." And as long as you were ethical, you're not going to have any problem with it. And you're going to really be so much more appreciative. And that's the way that you'll have the stories to be able to tell your grandchildren, or your grandchildren. children's friends or whatever, like, let me tell you this. When I was young, you know, and those are the people who we admire the most, our elders who have all these stories because they've accomplished so many things. But even so, the things that they didn't accomplish, they have experiences around them. And it's like, wow, you took that leap. And it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I did it. And then we just absolutely love it.
I love it because what you're building is not just a life, but a legacy. And that is where I think it's also the difference between being rich and being wealthy, right? So I've learned so much from you, Casanova, and I know my audience has too. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me on. This was a huge, huge pleasure for me. I've followed your podcast for about the last 9-10 months now, and I try to listen to it religiously. I've learned so much from it, even from the small episodes that you're doing, you know, like the one that you did about is a college degree worth it, and so many things on the personal side. So I feel like I've learned so much from you, as I'm sure the rest of your audience has. And I was just grateful that you allowed me to come on here and share my experiences with your audience. And I appreciate you for that.
Thank you so much, Casanova. Everybody, stay tuned for after the music. I'll share more where you can learn about Casanova Brooks. Hope your day is so money, Casanova.
Yes, I hope it is as well. I got another appointment right after this, and so I'm excited about it, but I'm more excited and appreciative to be here today with you.
To learn more about Casanova, check out CasanovaBrooks.com. He's on Instagram at Casanova_Brooks. By the way, you can actually get a free copy of his book, Real Estate, Play the Game Like the Winners. Head over to realestatelikethewinners.com/freebook. And all you have to do is pay for shipping. We have that link over at somoneypodcast.com as well. And while you're there, click on Ask Farnoosh. Let me know what's on your money mind. I am looking for questions for the Friday episodes, and you are the source. So please help me out. Let me know how I can help you, whether it's concerning debt, saving, investing, your career, affording a family, affording college, affording your business. I got a few opinions. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.